What operators need in 2026? An interview with Priscilla Ribeiro, CSO at Platypus Gaming. In the fast-moving world of iGaming, lasting growth is built on more than a strong game portfolio. Operators are looking for suppliers that can combine product creativity with regulatory discipline, commercial reliability, and a clear understanding of what different markets actually need. In the latest addition to our exclusive interview series, we speak with Priscilla Ribeiro, CSO at Platypus Gaming, about the company's evolution over the past 2 years and the strategy behind its next stage of growth. From regulated market expansion and compliance-led development to new engagement tools, network tournaments, and deeper operator partnerships, Priscilla offers a clear look at how Platypus is preparing for 2026 and beyond. Hello, Priscilla. Thank you for joining us today. You've been working with Platypus Gaming for almost 2 years now. Looking back at that period, what would you say has been the most important accomplishment you and the team have achieved together? Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. If I had to name one thing, it would be the shift in how the market perceives Platypus. When I joined, we were already a strong studio with a solid product catalog, but we weren't always top of mind when operators were making strategic partnership decisions. Over the past 2 years, we've changed that. We've secured major regulatory milestones, expanded our commercial footprint across multiple jurisdictions, and built a team that combines deep compliance expertise with genuine commercial agility. The result is a company that operators trust not just as a content supplier, but as a long-term partner. That trust is what I'm most proud of. Platypus has recently secured important regulated market approvals, including the UKGC B2B license and Ontario supplier license. Beyond access to these markets, what do these milestones reveal about Platypus's direction as a company? They reveal a fundamental commitment to operating at the highest standard the industry requires, not because we have to, but because we believe it's the right way to build a sustainable business. The UKGC and Ontario are among the most demanding regulatory environments in the world. Getting licensed there isn't just a market access story, it's a signal to every operator we work with that Platypus is built for the long term. It means our processes, our math models, our RTP reporting, our responsible gambling tools, all of it meets a standard that the most scrutinized regulators on the planet are satisfied with. That has value far beyond the UK and Canada. It changes conversations with operators in every market. You have described compliance as something that must be built into product development rather than added at the end. How does compliance by design influence the way Platypus develops, tests, and releases new games? It changes the entire rhythm of development. When compliance is an afterthought, you end up in a cycle of build, review, fix, rebuild, which is slow, expensive, and creates inconsistent outcomes. When it's built in from the concept stage, you eliminate most of that friction. In practice, this means our game designers work alongside compliance specialists from day one. Market-specific requirements, bet limits, RTP ranges, feature restrictions, responsible gambling triggers, are part of the brief, not a checklist at the end. Our QA process includes regulatory validation as a standard layer, not a separate audit. It does require more discipline up front, but it means we can release into regulated markets faster and with more confidence than studios that treat compliance in regulated jurisdictions. How do you balance commercial speed with the discipline required by markets such as the UK and Ontario? Are there moments when regulation slows innovation? Or does it actually force a more sustainable type of innovation? Honestly, both, and I think anyone who says otherwise is oversimplifying. There are absolutely moments when regulation creates friction. A feature that works beautifully in one market may need to be stripped back or redesigned for another. That takes time, but what I've observed over time is that the constraints imposed by demanding regulators often push us toward better design. When you can't rely on certain features to drive engagement, you have to find other ways, better math models, more compelling base game experiences, genuinely interesting bonus mechanics rather than just flashy ones. The best innovation we've done in the last 2 years came from trying to solve a regulatory constraint, not from working without one. What does the next stage of Platypus's product roadmap look like for 2026, particularly in terms of game mechanics, new models, bonus features, and player engagement tools? 2026 is a significant year for us in terms of product depth. We're investing heavily in math model diversity, moving beyond the standard volatility tiers to create genuinely differentiated experiences for different player profiles. We're also expanding our bonus feature toolkit, with a focus on mechanics that offer player agency. Features where the player's decision has a meaningful impact on the outcome rather than just being a spectator. On the engagement tool side, we're building infrastructure for real-time personalization, the ability for operators to serve different game configurations to different player segments based on behavior. And we have a substantial content pipeline, including some new creative territories we haven't explored before as a studio. We'll be sharing more detail on that at the major industry events this year. Platypus is also preparing a multi-stage network tournament series for 2026. What role do tournaments play in your broader strategy? Are they mainly an acquisition tool, a retention layer, or a way to help operators differentiate their casino lobbies? And what performance signals will define success for the rollout? Primarily retention and differentiation, though we expect acquisition benefits as a secondary effect. The data consistently shows that tournament participation increases session frequency and average session length. Players who engage with tournament mechanics return more often and stay longer, even outside of active tournament periods. That's a retention story, but for operators, the differentiation angle is equally important. A well-executed network tournament series gives an operator something genuinely distinctive to promote. It's a reason to choose their lobby over a competitor's, and it's a reason for players to have a preferred casino rather than rotating between platforms. In terms of success signals, we'll be looking at participation rates, repeat participation across tournament stages, operator opt-in rates, and ultimately the impact on GGR for participating titles. We're being rigorous about measurement from the start so we can iterate quickly. What are operators asking for most right now? Exclusive content, faster integrations, branded campaigns, better retention tools, or something else entirely? The honest answer is that it depends enormously on the operator's maturity and market position. Larger operators in competitive regulated markets are asking for retention tools and data transparency above everything else. They have enough content. What they need is content that works harder for them, with better visibility into why it's performing and tools to activate their player base around it. Faster integrations are a baseline expectation now, not a differentiator. Mid-tier operators and those entering new markets are more focused on exclusive content and branded campaigns, things that help them establish identity quickly. And across the board, there's growing demand for promotional mechanics that operators can control themselves rather than waiting on the supplier. The more autonomy we give operators over how they run promotions, the stronger the commercial relationship tends to be. Many suppliers speak about innovation, but operators often need measurable business impact. How does Platypus define technical innovation in a way that is commercially useful for partners? Is innovation more about math models, UI, UX, localization, promotional tools, or data transparency? We define innovation as anything that moves a metric that matters to the operator, and we're specific about which metrics we're targeting with each initiative. Math model innovation directly affects volatility perception, session length, and return frequency. UI, UX innovation affects conversion from lobby to first spin, and from first spin to repeat play. Localization innovation affects performance in specific markets in which cultural relevance drives engagement. Promotional tools affect operator revenue from existing player bases. Data transparency affects operator trust and the speed at which they make decisions about our content. The mistake some suppliers make is treating innovation as a single category. We think about it as a toolkit, and we're deliberate about which tool we're reaching for and why. When we present something new to a partner, we try to be specific. This feature is designed to increase repeat play by X mechanism, and here's how we expect it to show up in your data. Platypus works across a wide range of markets and player preferences. How do you decide when a game should be globally scalable versus tailored for specific regions or operator audiences? And at what stage does that positioning happen, from the initial concept or after the product is already developed? It has to happen at concept stage. Retrofitting a game for a specific market after it's been built is always a compromise. Our framework starts with the math model. If a game's core volatility profile and RTP range can work across our major markets, we build it as a global title and handle localization at the surface level, language, currency, visual adjustments. If the concept is inherently tied to a cultural reference, a local event, or a regulatory environment that only exists in certain markets, we scope it as a regional title from the beginning and size the investment accordingly. The key question we ask early is, who is this game for, and where do they play? If the answer is specific enough that it limits the addressable market significantly, we want to know that before we commit to full patterns between Europe, Latin America, Canada, and emerging markets? Very much so, and the differences are more pronounced than they were even 2 years ago as these markets have matured in different directions. In Europe, particularly regulated markets like the UK and the Nordics, the demand is for compliance-first content with strong responsible gambling integration and math models that perform well under tighter regulatory parameters. Player sophistication is high, and operators are selective. Latin America is in a fascinating growth phase, particularly following Brazil's regulatory developments. There's strong appetite for localized content, themes, characters, and mechanics that resonate culturally, combined with high volatility profiles that match the player preference in the region. Speed to market matters enormously there right now. Canada, and Ontario specifically, sits closer to the European model in terms of regulatory expectations, but with player preferences that lean more toward North American entertainment aesthetics. It's a market where compliance credentials open the door, but product quality keeps you in the room. On the other hand, emerging markets vary widely, but the common thread is mobile-first design and accessibility, lower minimum bets, faster sessions, and games that work well on mid-range devices with variable connectivity. The supplier landscape is becoming more competitive, especially as operators become more selective about third-party risk. What makes Platypus a stronger long-term partner today than it was 2 or 3 years ago? Three things, specifically. First is the regulatory credibility. 2 or 3 years ago, we didn't hold the licenses we hold now. Today, operators in the most demanding markets can work with us without taking on regulatory risk. That's a meaningful change. The second area is commercial infrastructure. We've built out our account management, technical integration, and promotional support capabilities significantly. Partners get more active support and faster response than they did previously. The relationship is more valuable because we're more present in it. Third is product consistency. We release more games, and the quality variance between our titles has narrowed. Operators can plan around our content pipeline with more confidence because we deliver what we say we're going to deliver, on the timeline we commit to. In a landscape where third-party risk is a genuine concern, predictability is underrated as a competitive advantage. Looking ahead to the next 12 months, what should partners expect from Platypus in terms of new markets, product launches, promotional mechanics, and strategic priorities? Partners should expect a more active Platypus than they've seen before. We're progressing regulatory applications in several additional jurisdictions and expect to announce new licenses over the course of the year. We're also deepening our presence in Latin America as that market continues to develop. Partners should expect a strong content release cadence through 2026, the network tournament series rollout, and the new engagement tools I mentioned earlier. We'll also be introducing some format innovations that we haven't announced publicly yet. Those will get their proper moment at industry events. In terms of promotional mechanics, we're giving operators significantly more control over how they activate our content. That's a strategic priority, and partners will see it reflected in our platform updates. As far as strategic priorities go, we want to be in fewer, deeper partnerships. We'd rather be genuinely important to 20 operators than marginally present with 200. That focus is shaping everything: how we allocate commercial resources, how we build our product, and how we measure our own success. It's an exciting period for the company, and I'm looking forward to showing partners what we've been building. We would like to thank Priscilla Ribeiro for sharing such thoughtful and detailed answers with Casino Reviews Net. Her transparency offered a valuable look into Platypus Gaming's internal processes, priorities, and future plans, while also showing how the company approaches compliance, product development, operator relationships, and sustainable growth. As Platypus continues to expand in regulated markets and prepare new tools, tournament formats, and product releases for 2026, it will be interesting to follow how this strategy shapes the company's next chapter.